WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016. Boy, oh boy, do we have a fun-filled show in store for you today. I'm excited because we will be inviting, during the second half of the show, Sam Silverstein. He is a stand-up comedian and pioneer of Laughter is the Cure. You do not want to miss it. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, we'll also recap the Tom Izzo press conference. That's right. As we speak, the Tom Izzo press conference is still going on and taking place at the Breslin Center right now as Izzo gives his thoughts and comments on the upcoming rivalry game matchup between the Michigan State Spartans and the Michigan Wolverines. You certainly want to hear his thoughts on how he is preparing for that matchup and how he getting it, how he's getting his team, I guess you can say, in rivalry mindset, if you will. We'll also chat about Nate Burleson, yes, the former Detroit Lion wide receiver who has some choice words for Bob Quinn. I kid you not, folks. You don't want to miss that. And also during the back half of the show, we'll give you a preview of tonight's Indiana and Michigan game, as well as talk about Peyton Manning and this possibly being his last game in a uniform on the gridiron. All of that and so much more. Call in to be a part of the show. You know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 2nd. All right, we start with some news concerning the Michigan State women's basketball team. Shout out goes to Michigan State junior forward Ariel Power. She was named as the Big Ten Women's Basketball Player of the Week. She is from the D, Detroit, Michigan. Shout out to D-Town. She earned her first career Big Ten Women's Player of the Week honor in three seasons as a Spartan. Powers led the Spartans to victories against Purdue and at Wisconsin, averaging, get this, 27.5 points, 7.5 boards, and three steals per game. The junior scored a game-leading 25 points on 62% shooting from the field with three steals in the win against the Boilermakers. At Wisconsin, she led all players with a season-high 30 points while pulling down nine boards and recording three steals. She is magnificent. Congratulations to Ariel Powers. Michigan plays host to Big Ten leading Indiana at Chrysler Center tonight at 9 p.m. as the Wolverines look to build on their current four-game winning streak against the Hoosiers. High-powered offense. There's big-time conference implications tonight as U of M is just a game behind first-place Indiana and Iowa for the Big Ten lead. Wolverine star Caris LeVert is expected to miss his ninth straight game due to a lower left leg injury. There's hope he can return to action when Michigan hosts the 10th-ranked Spartans on Saturday. The Detroit Pistons went to the wire in Brooklyn with the Nets Monday night, but Reggie Jackson took over in the final minutes of the fourth to propel Detroit to a 105-100 dub. Jackson finished with 19 points and 6 assists. Andre Drummond chipped in 21 of his own 10 of 15 shooting to go with 18 boards for the D. All five Pistons starters scored in double figures for the 14th time this year. The Pistons will travel to Boston tomorrow night to take on the Celtics, who have a one-game edge over Detroit in the East. Former University of Miami head coach Al Golden has been hired by the Detroit Lions to be the new tight ends coach. Golden was a tight end at Penn State and spent a year at tight end with the New England Patriots. And one of Calvin Johnson's close friends and former teammates said it defies logic that new Detroit Lions GM Bob Quinn hasn't reached out to the star receiver yet, and a simple convo could help sway Johnson to play possibly another season. Quote, "That's ridiculous." Of course, that's what Nate said. He is now an analyst with the NFL Network. He goes on to say, quote, "Like you're casually going about enticing one of the best receivers in my era to come back, and then you're casually showing your appreciation for a guy who has literally and figuratively put the organization on his back without complaint," end quote. Yeah, he said a lot, folks. Burleson, who played with the Lions in 2010 to 2013, said he has spoken by phone and text with Johnson, but he has neither directly asked nor been told if Johnson will in fact retire. Tough times for the Duke men's basketball team. As expected, Duke's run in the AP Top 25 has ended. After losing four of their last five, the Blue Devils now find themselves outside of the AP Top 25 for the first time since 2007. And just 2 weeks ago, their women's team left the Top 25 for the first time since 1999. Oh, it's tough being a Blue Devil this year. Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning has told his friends that he plans to retire after Super Bowl 50. Now, this is coming from a report from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Quote, "The reality is he has let the cat out the bag a little bit," Rappaport said Monday on NFL Network Super Bowl Live. "I also know he has told close friends that he expects this to be his last game as well." Manning is 39 years old. He did not reveal whether he had made a decision on retirement during his Super Bowl Media Day press conference on Monday, but he did acknowledge that ending his career after 18 seasons was possible. And the league announced Monday that it had reached an agreement with CBS and NBC to share its Thursday night primetime package of games. Both CBS and NBC will broadcast five Thursday night football games in 2016 and 17, while all Thursday night football broadcast games will continue to be simulcast on the NFL Network. The league-owned network will also exclusively televise an eight-game schedule comprising Thursday night football, late-season games on Saturday, and additional games to be determined. Multiple sources said CBS and NBC each paid, get this, $225 million for the deal. That equates to $45 million per game. Well, folks, the phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Call in to be a part of the show. Hey, I think it's about that time to start. Here we go.
It better mean more to everybody, or Judd Heathcote will come swinging back from his crutches. He always said that's a special. Your rivalry games should be special games. I don't care who your rivalry is against, and you can sometimes have a couple, but for the most part, you have one, sometimes two, but never more than that on a consistent basis. And Michigan State game is one, and it's. It should be, it only counts one, as George Perlis says, but it's worth a little bit more than that. And then this year, when you only play them once, it's even a bigger issue. So players will be ready to play. Players will be excited about the game.
And that is how we start today's show. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Tuesday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. It is the second day of the month of February. Hope you guys are having a great start to your week. What you just heard was, of course, the voice of Tom Izzo. Yes, Tom Izzo wrapped up his afternoon press conference today at the friendly confines of the Breslin Center to give everyone a preview of its upcoming matchup as the Spartans take on, that's right, the Michigan Wolverines. It is rivalry week, folks. Can you feel it in the air? Tomorrow, actually, the MSU women's basketball team, they will play host to Michigan at the Brez. Of course, I will be out in Ann Arbor covering that game for you guys on Saturday as the men get it on against John Beilein's Wolverines. An exciting week. It's always an exciting week here on the show. Anytime we talk about the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry, In just a sec, you are going to hear from Tom Izzo. You're going to hear him elaborate, I guess you can say, on that matchup this weekend. He'll weigh in on Javon Best and Marvin Clark Jr. There's just a bit of a buzz, and there was a buzz that I guess amongst us media members after Michigan State wrapped up its game this past weekend. And, you know, after that game, you know, I walked into the media room, and I'm sitting down next to Ernie Boone of the Michigan Bulletin, actually. And immediately Ernie looks at me and says, "Al, why in the world is Javon Best and Marvin Clark, why aren't they playing? Why are they in the doghouse?" And I was wondering the same thing. And it was kind of a, you know, we didn't address it to Izzo after that game. But we did look at it and say, okay, this is a little bit weird. Why I don't understand why Marvin and Javon really aren't getting a lot of playing time. So Tom Izzo decided to weigh in on that today. He'll also talk about why in the world Michigan and Michigan State are just playing one time this year. Bit odd, right? Just once this season. And he'll also weigh in on Caris LeVert and the uncertainty, the question mark, if you will, on whether or not he'll be healthy enough to play against the Spartans this Saturday. But until then, you know what? We are going to be having a lot of fun throughout this month here on the show, as I stated on yesterday's show, because this is the month of the coveted Oscars, the Super Bowl of movie awards, if you will, okay? And we decided to do something cool this month here on the show. Throughout this month here on the show, we will be bringing you a competition week to week to week, a competition that will eventually dwindle down to the number one sports movie, according to you all and our staff here at WKAR, the number one sports movie of all time, okay? Now, we asked you all yesterday to either call in, weigh in via social media at my Twitter page at AlMartinWKAR or at Facebook.com/currentsports, or even a few of you even emailed me your list of what movies you think should be nominated for this competition, because the weeks leading up to the Oscars, which will take place on February 28th, we will be having two movies battle week to week to week, eventually crowning the number one sports movie of all time during the date of the Oscars. And I took your nominations. I took Isaac. Isaac also weighed in. Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. First off, Isaac, how you doing?
Doing well. First off, have to give my brother a happy birthday wish. It is
happy
his.
Happy birthday, brother
Michael
Constance.
You had the pleasure of meeting him, I'm sure. So, yeah, happy birthday, Michael. He's 17 today, and maybe he'll be a Spartan in a couple years. Who knows?
There we go. You know what? I'm so bad. I called my mom after that show, too, because I was supposed to give my mom a shout-out. It was her birthday last week. And I'm like, Mom, of course I'm going to shout you out on the show. And I totally forgot. So, Mama, I'm sorry. But, yeah, thank you for reminding me with that. But happy birthday to your brother. That's big stuff there, Isaac. But, yeah, so I took your nominations because you weighed in as well, Isaac. I took my nominations. I took a few nominations that we had from callers yesterday and those who emailed me and you know, hit me up via social media. And I now have the list. Are you ready to hear the list?
Let's do it.
This is the list according to our nominations. Number one, and this goes from you know, who got the most votes to the least votes, but these are the top 10 movies that will be competing for this crown. Number one, by a landslide here, the Rocky series. We're going with the Rocky. I'm not going Rocky 1, 2, or 3 here. I'm just going to say the Rocky series. That's numero uno, no surprise there. Number two, Hoosiers. Hoosiers has number two. Number three, Raging Bull, starring Robert De Niro. I don't know if you have you ever seen that movie, Isaac?
Have not seen it. I know all about it, though.
Unbelievable.
Definitely have to.
Unbelievable movie. Four, you know what? I said yesterday I wasn't going to do it, but I got such an overwhelming response from it from people that wanted to see it on the list. I said, why not? Hoop Dreams is on the list at number four. Number five, Remember the Titans. Classic film. Of course, Denzel Washington, Wood Harris. Great movie. Six, Caddyshack. A lot of people weighed in with Caddyshack via email with me yesterday. Seven is Rudy. Eight, The Mighty Ducks.
Of course.
Yep. Number nine, Karate Kid. And number 10, just squeaked in there, Brad Pitt in Moneyball. What do you think of that list? Moneyball. Moneyball is on that list.
That's an upset for me. But
yeah,
overall, I think the list is pretty good. I have to say, I'm upset with Rudy's seeding. I think Rudy is severely underrated, and it is fitting. The guy was an underdog his whole life and managed to win, get the sack against Georgia Tech. He's going to manage to get the sack against Rocky in the finals this time around, too. But number seven, come on. The guy's overcome so much.
That was a good analogy, Isaac. Hey, Thank you, props to you, man. You get the star of the day for that one. I like that. But yeah, Rudy is certainly an underdog in this list. But yeah, I think that when you look at this list, I mean, there's potential for a few upsets to take place here. But this week here on the show, with that being said, we're going to be listing these kind of like the NBA or NHL playoffs, you know, 1 versus 10, 2 versus 9, and then kind of just doing all that down and break down the bracket. We're going to do a bracket style. So for this week, we're going to have the Rocky series go against Moneyball. Is that even fair? I think you can pretty much even pencil in Rocky. But right now, I want you guys to call in 517-355-9527. Again, we'll be taking your calls throughout this entire week, though. But we want you to vote between Rocky and Moneyball in our top 10 sports movies of all time bracket challenge, okay? Again, this week, throughout the rest of the week, Rocky versus Moneyball. Curious to see how the votes look at the end of the week on that one. All right, well, let's talk MSU men's basketball. Of course, Tom Izzo and his troops are now looking forward after that completely just trouncing of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights this past weekend. Michigan State now looks forward to now taking on the Michigan Wolverines, but the Michigan Wolverines have to take care of business if they still want to add to the luster of this matchup on Saturday. And what I mean by that is they have to take care of business against Indiana tonight. Michigan has a big game against Yogi Ferro in Indiana. That's going to be a great one. I believe that's a 9 p.m. tip time. But Tom Izzo held his weekly presser at the Breslin, and he hit on a few interesting aspects. And, you know, what I love about Tom Izzo is that he doesn't shy away from anything. He gives you an honest answer. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. And, you know, here are a few bites I want to play for you guys, starting with, as I mentioned, the aforementioned topic of why Marvin Clark and Javon Best aren't getting any playing time. Here we go.
You know, I know that's being talked about. I mean, it's not clearly in our mix. You know, Javon was a guy that we felt had to play the four because of his injuries first. Then we felt he had to play it because of our injuries second. He went through a time when that wasn't embracing to him, and so we're trying to get him back to the three, and yet we're trying to do it within the confines of our other injuries, and that's why I say sometimes it creates a big problem. So now we start playing him at the three more, but, you know, there's some things that he's got to get better at there. He's not out of our mix. I mean, you can't start a guy for 13 games and be out of the mix. We have not played him much lately. And yet, as I said, in these next couple of games, other than Purdue, you're looking at three teams that play predominantly smaller. So what does he have to do? He's not in a doghouse. It's not like it's anything where he did something wrong. It's just find a spot to fit him in. And kind of that's the same with Marv, you know. It's coming off the injury. And, you know, somebody brought up something to me. You know, it took Denzel a little longer than I thought to get back to normal. I mean, his last four or five games have been good. But his first two or three, when he got back, I didn't think he was out that long. But that was during the stretch when we played all those games, four or five games in a 10, 12-day stretch, and never got to practice, you know. And I think right now, you know, we're moving him around. We're practicing at the four, practicing at the three. It's been difficult for him, but at the same time, you know, we were playing him a lot of minutes, and we were doing all right with that. But, you know, he's got to feel comfortable too. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. There's no doghouse. There's no something he did wrong. There's no something off the court. He just has to fit in.
And that's the thing with this team. I mean, they're so deep that, hey, I mean, someone's going to get shortchanged here. Michigan State can go legitimately 13 deep. This roster is so well put together that at times, and we've noted this throughout the season thus far, at times it is a struggle to find the ideal lineup in certain situations. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, hey, you know, Marvin Clark has been injured. He's still trying to come back from an injury. And same thing with Javon Best. It's tough plugging those guys in and getting them an allotment of time if other guys are playing well ahead of them. So we'll see how that pans out. Maybe this could be an entirely different story when Michigan State takes on Michigan this weekend. Also, Tom addressed the back and forth history of both teams throughout this Michigan State and Michigan series as of recently in the John Beilein era, I should say, in comparison to, you know, to that of Tom Izzo. They've gone back and forth throughout recent years. Tom Izzo also addressed that notion as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reason. I think both teams, if you look at the last couple of years, you know, we played them twice without Dawson and Payne and I think Appling one time, and they played us without LeVert and Walton last year twice. I think there's been some bizarre injuries and more than one. And more than if it's one, you can survive it. If it gets to be two and three, I think that changes it. Just about every game has been a pretty good game. You know, I think for the most part, our losses have been close losses, and that would be the only thing I could come up on why there's this swing. If you look at the last couple of years, to me that seems, you know, both teams were pretty good, but I think why the swings, I think the injuries had something to do with it on both sides.
Very, very true. I remember when I was a rookie reporter actually for Channel 6 News, and I covered my very first Michigan State and Michigan game, basketball game, I should say. It was held out at the Chrysler Center out in Ann Arbor, and I remember that team just being stacked for John Beilein. I mean, you talk about Trey Burke, Glenn Robinson III. You had Nick Stauskas also part of that team. Very great, great game. It came down to the wire, and I don't know if you guys remember, but Keith Appling actually got the ball stolen from Trey Burke. Burke takes it coast-to-coast for a lay-in, and that's how Michigan won that game. But it's been so back and forth throughout the recent history when looking at John Beilein's Michigan Wolverines against Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans. It's been so fun to watch, very entertaining, and a lot of that does have to do with injuries as well, because Michigan State hasn't been at full force at times that when they played Michigan, and vice versa. Same thing for Coach John Beilein and his squad. What I love about them both, though, is that they both have outstanding coaches, and you know it's going to be a battle. John Beilein, I think, is one of the best coaches in men's college basketball. Absolutely love him as a coach. He knows the X's and O's so well. And just look at what he's doing right now with his star player absent. Caris LeVert is not healthy, folks. Not healthy at all. And again, I talk about the question mark of him playing this weekend. We know he's not going to play tonight against Indiana. He may play. It doesn't look very likely that he will play this Saturday. But with that being said, I mean, we've seen other players step up like Derek Walton Jr., like Zach Irvin. Very impressive what this squad has been able to put together. And looking at for Michigan State, I also want to address this because there's also been questions. I got a question about this via email yesterday as well concerning Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearin Jr., and whether or not he will be cleared to play this Saturday against U of M. Tom Izzo addressed that, and he said that, quote, Nearin is doubtful at best. Of course, Tum Tum has been dealing this entire year with plantar fasciitis. I don't expect Tum to play this Saturday, but it would be a big help, especially when you talk about those guards like Walton and Irvin. He could help this team a lot this Saturday, but I don't think he's going to play, Isaac.
Well, and that's the thing. U of M is really a perimeter shooting team, one of the top 10 three-point shooting teams in the nation. So when it comes to a game where you could really use that perimeter lockdown defender, this is the one that you'd have to pin as that game in the Big Ten. So unfortunate for Michigan State, but at the same time, like you mentioned, it's not as if Michigan's at full strength either without Caris LeVert. I mean, it fairly evens out.
Yeah, without a doubt. And also, I mean, is it kind of weird that Michigan State and Michigan are only playing one time this basketball year? Very weird. Tom Izzo also weighed in on that, and I think there is a pretty general consensus opinion concerning that conversation as well.
I think this is one of the only things in the whole entire United States that the media, the fans, and the coaches agree on. You know, it's. I don't think anybody's happy about it. It's the nature of the beast of what we're in. You know, when I went through and heard that rumor about Rutgers, and I went and looked at the different schedules, I just realized how crazy this is right now. Northwestern, I think, was ranked second. You know, and not that those rankings mean anything. There's sometimes somebody's got to be a third and somebody's got to be an eighth, and there could be a little bit of a difference. But it's so hard to predict things where it used to be so easy. But now the mega conferences has made it, and who plays who twice, who plays who once, where do they play them, when do they play them, who gets a three-game stretch where they getting their brains beat out, and then they go play someone they should beat, and they, you know, they're down. Who gets a three-game stretch where they're really playing well, and they play someone they probably should lose to, and they can win because their confidence is up. I think of all the years I've been in it, the schedule has created a lot of problems for some teams. Thank God we're kind of in the middle on this thing. But
yeah, you know, and that's something, Isaac, that I want to have Mark Hollis on the show very soon to talk about, because I would love to really just dive into how do those that put together the schedule for respective teams, what's the mindset that goes into that? Because first off, I know that number one, money has a lot to do with it. That's the first thing. I mean, when you schedule these games, and when you know, and we just talked about, of course, the deal with CBS and NBC concerning Thursday Night Football and their overall schedule. I mean, CBS and NBC each paid $225 million for that deal. When looking at what certain teams are playing, you know, another team in the schedule, and what networks are going to pick up that feed. First off, money is the number one thing that you got to have in that conversation. Number two is how many fans can you get in the seats, and how much money can that draw at the actual event. Number three, I don't know. Where it goes from there, I have no idea. So I don't understand why Michigan State and Michigan, I mean, this is a highly touted game, a big rivalry game. Why do they only play once? That puzzles me.
If I had to throw in a number three, it would just be conference politics. We talked to Mark Hollis at the same event where the Detroit Tigers winter caravan, the AP sports meeting. And he was saying how scheduling is so complicated. He doesn't have anything resembling autonomy when it comes to picking Michigan State's schedule for football, basketball, hockey, anything like that. The super conferences now weigh more than ever when it comes to picking who you play, when you play them. You've got TV deals to worry about, like you mentioned. He mentioned the Ohio State football game 2 years ago as a prime example. That game would have not ideally been played at night if it was up to him, but just because of the money considerations and what the conference wanted, it was played then. So much goes into this. It's hard to choose, but I can't see who would benefit from Michigan State not playing Michigan twice.
Yeah, exactly. That's very puzzling to me. And also, here's Tom Izzo weighing in on whether or not he expects Caris LeVert to be on the floor this Saturday out in Ann Arbor.
Who knows? I don't even know where he is right now. I mean, I've never seen anything so quiet in all my life, you know. I guess they got better media than we got, because you guys would have dug in. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, I don't know how you prepare for it. He played in one Big Ten game. I mean, we'll definitely have some film on it. You know, when you bring a guy back, it can be a tremendous lift. When you bring a guy back, you know, that first game is either goes almost one way or the other. I don't know. It's the last thing I'm worrying about because I can't control it. I have no idea. And it doesn't really bother me either way. I mean, because I've seen it work both ways with my own guys. So I haven't, unless you guys have, you guys might have better insight than me on it. Do you? Okay, so we're all in the same boat then. So we'll find out.
Nobody knows. Who knows if Caris LeVert will play this weekend? And you know what? This is a big question that I have, Isaac, because I've been watching U of M's most recent games, and they're playing so well right now. They are such in a groove. They've gotten used to Caris being on the bench, and I think roles are becoming more and more defined right now. The big thing that I'm worried about, if you are a U of M fan, is that when Caris does come back, will he throw off that chemistry? That's at an all-time high right now for this squad.
You worry if the cohesion gets upset because Caris LeVert, his absence has made every single player on that team step up. Derek Walton Jr. playing the best basketball of his life. Zach Ervin finally looking like the player they thought he could be. And Duncan Robinson on the perimeter, perfectly filling in Caris LeVert's shoes.
Exactly.
So
right.
It's just been excellent performance. You saw when Caris LeVert went out, he was their leader in points per game and assist. Not so whatsoever anymore. They don't miss him at all, if you ask me.
Obviously, I wouldn't go that far.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Talented player.
And if he fits perfectly in that system, then they're obviously better. They're one of the best teams in the Big Ten.
Right.
But when he is on the court, they just rely on him too much.
They share the ball more when he's not there. Exactly.
Exactly. And that favors everybody's talents on that team because they're a perimeter shooting team, which means they need ball movement to get players open. When LeVert's on the court, sometimes he doesn't monopolize it, but the team just relies on him too much, and the offense never really gets going.
Exactly. So we'll see. It's going to be an entertaining game tonight, and then, of course, on Saturday as Michigan will take on Michigan State out in Ann Arbor. What do you think is going to happen really quick? Do you think Indiana knocks off Michigan tonight real quick before you
break? No, I think Michigan wins by 10 points or more. I just don't think Indiana's for real.
I love Yogi. Love Yogi. I think he throws up 22. Indiana loses in a close one, though. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, he has just entered Studio S here at WKAR Studios, folks. His name is Sam Silverstein. He's a stand-up comedian and pioneer of Laughter is the Cure. Find out what exactly that is and so much more. Don't you touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, throughout this month, we are having our top 10 sports movies showdown. Of course, leading up to the Oscars, which will take place on February 28th. Thought it'd be a kind of a cool way to tribute the Oscars. And again, the rankings. Number one, Rocky. The Rocky series, I should say. Two, Hoosiers. Three, Raging Bull. Four, Hoop Dreams. Five, Remember the Titans. Six, Caddyshack. Seven, Rudy. Eight, The Mighty Ducks. Nine, The Karate Kid. And 10, Moneyball. So our first matchup for the week, Rocky series versus Moneyball. We have any votes on that, Isaac, at all?
We do. We have one vote, and it's in favor of... No, I'm just kidding. It's in favor of Rocky, of course.
I was about to say. I was about to lose my mind here. And I'm assuming... I could probably take your vote right now. What are you voting for?
I'll vote Rocky.
I was about to jump through that glass if you didn't say Rocky.
No, okay, there's no way you can vote Moneyball over Rocky realistically. Trust me. I think Moneyball is a pretty decent movie.
Yeah.
Rocky's a classic. So even though I might not personally like Rocky, you don't hate on the classics.
Okay. Well, that's three for Rocky right now because I'm going for Rocky as well. All right, folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Well, let's get to our guest for today's show. Now, he began doing stand-up comedy his senior year of high school when his heart was shattered as he came to the shocking revelation that his NFL dreams were not going to happen, all right? He started off with his high school talent show, gradually excelling to the local open mic scene at some of the most well-known and renowned comedy clubs in the state of Michigan. His freshman year of college at Michigan State, he decided to do something more meaningful with his comedy career. He wanted to be different while making a difference, creating a live comedy show that combines the best aspects from stand-up comedy, theater, and video to produce a show like never before. His dream is to one day tour the world performing Laughter is the Cure to Life, that show, while raising as much money as possible for children. It is certainly my pleasure to welcome to our airwaves for the very first time, Mr. Sam Silverstein. Sam, how you doing? Welcome to the show, my man.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Now, I want to talk about Sam, because I love when we bring in guests like yourself. Well, we just kind of just go off the beaten path of sports and talk about individuals trying to make a difference in our community here today. And you're doing it in combination with your talent, raising funds for children who are going through illnesses and diseases in local hospitals, and in one hospital in particular, which we'll get to in just a sec. First off, I want to talk about the show.
Yep.
Laughter is the Cure. How did that get started, and when did the idea come to mind?
Okay, cool. So the way everything kind of got started is, like you said before, I kind of wanted to do something more with stand-up comedy, kind of, you know, speed up the process of building a following and kind of getting in front of a bigger audience.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, we had this idea of creating a show to put it on a bigger platform, because now's the time to do it. You know, on a college campus, you got thousands of kids looking for something to do. So we created the show, Laughter's the Cure to Life. And like you said, we kind of combined the best aspects of what you might see at a movie with what you might see at a theater show, with what you might see at a stand-up show, all into one kind of storyline.
And when was this? Give me a time frame. How many years ago was this?
This was, so I'm a sophomore right now. We started this last year, so my freshman year.
Okay.
So fall of 2014.
Fall of 2014. Yep. So this is relatively fresh then.
Yeah,
so,
really fresh.
So when you first put this together, Sam, I'm curious to know, What was the outcome? I mean, how many people came to the show? What was the turnout like? How many funds did you raise?
Okay. So we with that first show, we did it in one of the business college complex on campus.
Okay.
The room seats 600. It was probably the worst possible weather we could have gotten last year. First show was February 4th. Still was well, you know, we probably had 500 people there. We sold all 600 tickets, mm-hmm. but due to weather, probably only 500 in the seats. Raised 2,000 that night with our first show. And then since then, we actually went to Grand Valley State University, did a show this summer in my hometown of Berkeley, Michigan.
The same show?
Yep, same show. Mm-hmm. This summer, we did like a variation of it, like a backyard talent show kind of thing.
Right.
Where we gave some other people a chance to like get in the spotlight. And then we have our fourth show now coming up February 16th.
That's fantastic stuff. And I believe the proceeds are going to Mott Children's Hospital. Is that right?
Yep, going to CS Mott Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor.
Gotta love that. And why'd you choose CS Mott Children's Hospital?
So the reason we kind of chose... the hospital they donate to. First of all, we wanted to do something more meaningful and do it for a charity, because the way I kind of explain it is it's a win-win-win where people win by coming because, you know, they're donating money, they feel good about themselves, they see a great show. We win because we're getting all these people to come watch us. When no charity, they don't come. And the children, of course, win most of all because they benefit. And the reason we kind of chose childhood cancer mm-hmm. is because that's something that we feel like everyone can relate to cancer in some way. Everyone's been touched, whether it's directly, indirectly. It's something everyone can relate to and something that we really wanted to like make a difference with. So that's kind of why we chose to go with the Children's Hospital and CS Mott.
Unbelievably cool. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with stand-up comedian and pioneer of Laughter is the Cure, Sam Silverstein. Now, Sam, I gotta know, brother, it's gotta be a tough business, because I look at comedians. My favorite comedian has to be Kevin Hart. I love K Hart. I actually saw his most recent stand up. Oh, what's the name? It just came to the prison, actually, but I saw it out in Ohio and he had me just crying. But to be funny all the time, because I think about the life of a comedian. Everybody expects like a Kevin Hart or a Richard Pryor or, you know, just comedians throughout the history of the realm to be funny all the time, 24/7. Right. How did you break into the business, and what's the pressure to be funny like all the time like for you?
Oh, it's always on. Anytime you meet someone and they say you're a comedian, they say, oh, you know, let me hear a joke. So, you know, it's
they
like
put you on the spot.
Right, they put you on the spot right away. So there's a lot of pressure, but what's cool about the show that we do that's a little bit different than like Kevin Hart and these guys is our generation is so – we're always moving, you know what I mean? Whether we're – you know, we're always on our phones, we're always doing something, multitasking. So I think that even guys like Kevin Hart, Dane Cook, the top dogs who are just so funny,
right?
It's hard to watch them talk into a microphone for an hour, which is why our show, it's like there's always something different happening.
Right, you said it combines theater as well?
Yeah, it's got like it's all a storyline where it's like a movie where you'll see something in the beginning and it all ties together at the end.
Okay.
So there's like probably 20 minutes of video incorporated. There's girls singing, there's juggling, there's glow in the dark stuff. I mean, it's a whole crazy, crazy thing.
Can you kind of give me a quick summary of what the story is without letting too much the bag, of course?
For sure. So, name of the show, of course, Laughter's the Cure to Life. Premise is that there's this man named Reggie Saunders, and he's trying to take over the show. Mm-hmm. As the storyline progresses, you find out why. And what you find out is that we used to be scientists together trying to find, like, the cure to life.
Uh-huh.
I figured out the cure was laughter. He wasn't funny. That's what divided us, and now he's like back for vengeance, kind of.
That's a very interesting story. Like, did you? Is this all on you right here, Sam? Did you put this whole thing together solely? I mean, is this your writing, or did you collaborate with other people? I'm curious.
So it all started. I'm definitely. I started the whole operation and everything.
Right.
But I mean, I'd be lying like crazy if I said I did it on my own. There's a team of about 12 of us, all part of production. Whether it's doing lights, helping to write, helping to film, edit, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then the two people I'd say that had the biggest part is Jeremy Pecos. He's kind of our executive producer. He edits everything, designs flyers, all that. And then Nick Tenaglia is our, he's like the co-star of the show.
Gotta love that. Now, Sam, when you first started this comedy gig, what was the biggest challenge for you? And did you ever, I'm curious to know the horror stories as well. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a show where you go out there and you're doing your routine and you just can't get anybody to laugh? Because I feel like every comedian has been down that road or twice. And tell me that story, if you ever had a horror moment like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's all part of the business, you know? And it's like, you become so thick-skinned just from doing stand-up comedy, just because there's so many times you're up there and, you know, you're saying something that in your mind when you wrote it was so funny and you're ready for them to laugh, and then they come up and just nobody's laughing.
Right, right.
So I think the worst time was probably, I was out in California this summer.
Okay.
And I was doing open mic, just some, you know, little dive bar or whatever, and there was probably only about 8 people there, and, you know, 2 of them are watching the TV, 3 of them are wasted drunk, the other 2 are working there, and it's just no one's listening, and, you know, you're talking to a spotlight of no one. It was a bad feeling that night.
Oh, my goodness. I can only imagine. That's a lot of pressure, dude. Again, if you're just now joining us, we are chatting with stand-up comedian and pioneer of Laughter is the Cure, Sam Silverstein. Now, Sam, you know, where does your motivation come from? I mean, you mentioned how everyone has been touched in some way, shape, or form by cancer. I've let it be known throughout our airwaves many times of how me, directly, I was affected because my grandfather, he passed away. He's the man who taught me how to be a man. He passed away due to prostate cancer back in December of 2011. It was one of the toughest times of my life watching him go through that battle. What's your motivation to do what you do?
Real similar to what you just said. So basically, you know, similar situation. My grandfather, I was really close with. And watching him kind of in his last days of his battle was really tough. But in my mind, it was like, he's an old man, you know. He's lived his life. He's had children. He's had grandchildren. He's traveled. And, you know, he's played the game of life. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you got these kids who they're just starting the game of life. So it's kind of like his struggle was tough to watch, let alone these kids who all their friends are outside playing and they're, you know, trapped in a hospital room. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of why we wanted to, like, make it, you know, something that would be more meaningful, I guess. Because the money doesn't go towards research.
Right.
It goes to what the hospital calls a child and family life services, meaning that the money goes towards things like toys, technology, video games, music therapy, things that make more of like a direct impact, per se.
I got to know, what's the goal? I mean, what did you all hit during the first year of the show financially, and what do you hope to raise this year?
Okay, so far we've raised just under $5,000. We got our next show coming up in 2 weeks. Our goal is $4,000 for that. So far we're at $3,000, so I think we'll definitely hit it. And then we're actually working on shows at the University of Michigan and Ohio State University right now.
Really? So this show tours then? That was my next question. So this show isn't just a Michigan State once-a-year type of thing. I mean, this goes to other universities as well.
Working on it, yeah. So far, we've only hit Michigan State and Grand Valley State.
Okay.
But we're hoping that we'll hit Michigan, we'll hit Ohio State. And then the goal is that after these next 3 shows, somebody with a lot of money or a lot of connections is going to see it and say, wow, that's awesome. I want to take it on. And they're going to sponsor it, and next thing you know, we're going to 15 different schools, 20 different schools, telling jokes and raising money.
Sam, how has the show changed or evolved over time?
Okay, so the way the show's changed is it's kind of like trial and error, I guess. You figure out what works, you figure out what doesn't. I think that the storyline we got now is what we're going to be stuck and rolling with. And it's cool to see how the show's changed, where, like, last year the focus was on charity. People were coming because it was a charity show. They wanted to donate money to the charity. Mm-hmm. Now the charity's taking such a back seat because people want to see the show. You know, the money still goes to the hospital, you know, don't get me wrong, but people aren't thinking, I'm paying for a charity show. They want to come see Laughter's the Cure to Life and see what all the hype's about.
Gotcha. Okay, remind folks again how they can get tickets, what website, you know, they can learn more about, all that kind of jazz.
For sure. So the website is laughteristhecure.com. You can find any info there, whatever you need to know about tickets, show dates, all of that. To purchase tickets, if you just go to that website, there's links right there. It'll direct you how to get them. We actually only got 100 left. We sold 500 in the first week. Got 100 left, so, you know, act quick if you're interested. And we've just been handling it all ourselves, and it's been going good.
Gotta love that. We'll make sure to put it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports when we post the podcast after this show airs. And I want to know, you know, as far as your own goals and dreams go, Sam, I mean, in comedy, where do you want to take this thing? And what are you currently studying here at Michigan State as a sophomore?
Okay, so basically I'm studying advertising right now, which kind of plays into the whole thing of, you know, promoting the show, doing it all. I guess my goal right now, we're just having fun with it. I mean, to go to other schools and, you know, with a van of 12 people telling jokes, you know, getting a hotel, whatever, will be you know, just trying to live in the moment and enjoy it. But I guess the ultimate goal would be, you know, for someone to take it on and then for us to, you know, and this is talking big dreams, of course, you gotta dream big, that we'd have our own, you know, tour bus and we'd have a 3-month tour going to 40 different schools and then raising thousands and, you know, then the Ellen Show. I want to be on the Ellen Show.
You want to be on the Ellen Show. That's the main dream right there.
That's the dream. Oh, and then coming back to WKAR one more time.
There we go. That's exactly. Hot stuff, right? Yeah. Coming to WKAR is one of the dreams too, I'm sure. Like, mine is probably the Jimmy Fallon Show. I love Jimmy Fallon, Isaac. I mean, that is my guy. But that's very cool stuff. And, Sam, how would you describe your comedy? If you had to compare it to another comedian out there, who do you look up to and try to pattern yourself after, if there is anyone out there?
That's a tough question, just because comedy's so personal to the individual, I guess.
Right.
But I guess the style I go with is kind of more like storytelling. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of all, you know, forms of comedy, but I've never really been like a one-liner kind of guy. It's all more like storytelling and kind of a lot of like making fun of myself in a sense, going back to the whole, you know, not tall enough to play football thing, not, you know, big enough to do that, not good looking enough to get this girl, that girl, and it's kind of just all, you know, making fun of myself.
Were you always the funny guy in class growing up?
Yeah.
The class clown?
Always been the class clown type.
A
lot of trouble. like making jokes and making people smile, so it all kind of came together and fell into place.
Who's your favorite comedian?
Favorite comedian, I'd have to say, would probably be, I think Dane Cook would definitely be my number one.
Gotcha.
Dane Cook is
hilarious.
Yeah, he was like one of the first I saw, and that's... someone I've always kind of looked up to.
Very cool stuff, you know. And talking about storytelling, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, comedians that do that. I mean, I know Richard Pryor was pretty famous for that. Eddie Murphy is another guy that comes to mind. Kevin Hart, Bill Cosby. Let's leave that where it is. But yeah, there's a lot of comedians that have taken that route. But very excited to check out the show. I'm going to try to check it out when it does come to Michigan State. Again, we'll put the information on our Facebook page. I'll tweet it out as well. Sam Silverstein, again, stand-up comedian and pioneer of Laughter is the Cure. Sam, am I leaving anything out?
That's it. I mean, yeah, we're excited. Thank you for having me on the show, and we hope to get a little bit more traffic after this.
Gotta love that. We'll definitely have you on in the future. How's that sound?
Sounds perfect.
I appreciate everything.
All right, let's start our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by giving you a preview of Indiana at Michigan. Also, will the Super Bowl be Peyton Manning's last game? We'll talk about that as well. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back. Again, folks, you are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. Some breaking news to announce to you all right now that just literally came through. Like, just came through as this intro music is playing. I'm excited about this. I will probably pay for this fight. Middleweight Canelo Alvarez will be facing welterweight Amir Khan in a title fight on May 7th at a catchweight of 155. I can't wait for that. I've been waiting on this announcement for so long, Isaac, and it just came through my phone. I'm paying for this one, dude. I can't wait to see this one.
Well, we need something after that disappointing Pac-Mayweather fight. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, whatever gets boxing and fighting in itself back on its feet after Rousey's defeat as well. We've been waiting for this event. You know, we really have. So I'm excited for it, too.
And speaking of comedy, you know, I don't know if you checked out Ronda's hosting on SNL. Last weekend, she held it down. She did pretty well. I think it was 2 weeks ago, but she held it down. She did very, very well. I was just happy to see Ronda back on her feet and alive and well. But I don't know when that rematch is going to take place. But again, breaking news, middleweight Canelo Alvarez to face welterweight Amir Khan in a fight on May 7th at a catchweight of 155. Excited about that news. Pretty hot stuff. Again, folks, the phone lines are open. 10 minutes left. 517-355-9527. That was a fantastic interview with Sam Silverstein, again, stand-up comedian and pioneer for Laughter is the Cure. And it's funny, I had to ask him, Isaac, if he was a class clown growing up, because I was. Believe it or not, I got real shy, though.
I feel
though.
Like you're not that funny, though.
I'm not.
No, I'm just playing.
Taking shots over there, dude. But no, when I hit elementary school, though, I nipped it in the butt, because get this. So during kindergarten, I remember vividly going to parent-teacher conferences with my mom. And I was a bad kid in kindergarten and first grade. And I remember in kindergarten, though, I sat down with my teacher, and my mom's there. It's parent-teacher conferences. And she's like, you know, Al just, he can't get it right. I remember her saying this. And she's like, he just can't, he doesn't get it. He's always cracking jokes and not paying attention in class. He's really the class clown. And I remember my mom looking at me and staring at me like, okay, you are about to get it. And after that, I remember that night, my mom and my pops, they just grilled me that entire night. After that, Isaac, I became a church boy. That was it. That was done with my days of being the stand-up comedian in class. So, but I'll never forget that. I was a class clown very early, and that didn't last long, though, because my parents just went off on me. So, again, folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's take our first call of the day. We've got on line one, our guy. I love when Kirk calls in. Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing just fine, Al. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. What is on your noggin?
Well, since you're talking about comedy, I think I'd like to talk about the NFL Pro Bowl. It would work right into the same equation.
Yes, very true. Very, very true. Did you watch it?
I watched a little bit of it and couldn't believe I was actually watching something that pretended to be football.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wondering if the NFL shouldn't take a cue from the NHL, the hockey All-Star game, and pare things down and maybe have it be a 7-on-7 flag football game or something instead of what they tried to pretend that was last weekend.
And, you know, and what's so fascinating about the Pro Bowl that I evaluate each and every year is that when the ratings come out, like the week after the Pro Bowl, Kirk, they're always pretty decent. And that's why the NFL has still not done away with it. And I just think it's a pointless game. And you're talking about football. I just don't think you can put football in an all-star entertaining realm like that because it's such a physical, testosterone-driven game. And, you know, with what we're knowing about concussions and CTE and whatnot, why put an extra game on the schedule for players to possibly get hurt even more on top of already a grind that is an NFL year? I just don't like it. It's not entertaining to me. But I think there is talks right now of the NFL modifying it so that it's changed into something different. I just don't know what that avenue should be. And I think that's a good proposal, though. I mean, why not, you know, make it like a 7-on-7, real lighthearted game? It's just really fun. Because, I mean, watching the Pro Bowl is just not entertaining in my eyes.
Yeah, well, nobody was actually hitting each other, you know. It's like a running back would run up there, and as soon as he got close to a defender, he'd basically kind of give himself up, and they'd just kind of wrap up and hug it out or whatever kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
right.
If you're not going to actually have contact, you know, why not make it a flag game or whatever? They can show off their athletic skills. They can play without helmets and be out there and be all personalities and stuff. You know, do something other than try to pretend it's a football game.
I agree. Yeah. It's a waste of time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think I caught about 5 minutes of it. I want to say it was maybe in the third quarter. And after watching about 5 minutes of it, I just said, I cannot watch this anymore. And I changed the channel. So,
yeah, I flipped through it. I was actually trying to find an NBA game to watch. And I flipped through it and said, oh, there's Mike Tirico and John Gruden doing interviews on the sidelines. I'll rather watch a movie. And I think that's what I did. So, yeah, not very entertaining.
Have a good day, Al. Thanks for letting me on.
Thank you, Kirk. Always a great time talking to you, dude. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
All right, 5 minutes left in the show. You know, I don't know if you caught that Pistons game last night, Isaac. Pretty entertaining, though. I shot you a text. Didn't I text you? I think it was like right after Reggie like went off in the final 2 minutes of the game, really the catalyst that propelled the Pistons to that dub. I had to text you because I know you're not the biggest Reggie Jackson fan.
No, I'm not.
You know, you're really a big advocate for Brandon Jennings, who's actually coming off the bench for the Pistons right now amid coming back from that Achilles heel injury. But Reggie, I mean, every once in a while, he just takes over. And that's exactly what he did last night against the Brooklyn Nets. On the road, a game that the Pistons certainly needed. And I just found it very entertaining watching him do what he does because, you know, Reggie at times will show you glimpses of, you know, just a juggernaut, an all-star, I think. You know, when he's hitting, he's on. I wanted to bring it up because the Pistons have been in a bit of a drought. Also, yesterday was Super Bowl Media Day. And we have a few bites to bring to you. And I believe this first one comes from a kid reporter. His name is Austin Denton, cancer patient from St. Jude with dreams of being a broadcaster. I believe he asked a question to Peyton Manning, right?
Correct, yeah.
Here we go. Let's take a listen to this.
And just, you know, everyone's been asking, are you going to retire after this? Do you have any idea?
I'll tell you, you're sharp. You're sharp. You're well-dressed and you're smart and you're sharp. I don't know the answer to that.
How cool is that? Now, and I believe Brett Cass, one of our PAs in the back, and also Connor, they cut this bite for us. And I believe that Michael Irvin was in the ear of Austin telling him what to ask Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And that's the big question, whether or not Peyton Manning is going to retire after this. Do you think he will? Isaac, do you think he is?
Yeah, well, rumors have it that he will. And, you know, to be honest, I think this is how Peyton Manning should go out. If he wins the Super Bowl in this year, it will be because of his defense, let's be honest. Peyton Manning has been on the decline for this year, so it makes sense for him to walk away into the horizon, just like in a good old Western movie with Denver Broncos and all that. So, yeah, retire after this one, Peyton, and hang him up.
All right, we got a few more for you guys. Here's Cam Newton on why can't LeBron be the me of Power Fours. Interesting.
Why can't LeBron be called the Cam Newton of Power Fours?
I don't know, because
there are a few reasons there.
Break that one down, Isaac.
Yeah, I think one, because LeBron entered the league first. Two, LeBron James is a small forward. Three, LeBron James is the better player. I mean, even if you're comparing across sports, yeah, that analogy doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. Okay, that was interesting. And also, Peyton Manning on Cam being the MVP. I think Cam Newton, I think everyone agrees. I think that's general consensus that Cam Newton will be named as the MVP. Here's what Peyton Manning had to say on Cam being named the MVP.
There's no doubt in my mind he's going to be the MVP on Saturday night. And what he's done in the short time being an NFL quarterback, he's been awesome. He's been awesome, man. That's the best word I can think of. He's been a great passer. He's been a great runner. He's been a great leader. You don't go 17-1 as a starting quarterback without being awesome, and that's what he's been this year, without a doubt.
Totally agree. Couldn't agree more with Peyton Manning there. And also, hey, here's Cam Newton freestyling.
He talking about my dad. He talking about my flow. But it's one thing that you need to know. Even though you a good fellow, I don't think you got swag because your shirt is yellow. It should have been Carolina blue. Something that you should have thought, something you should have knew. We're chilling in the Super Bowl with a lot of media. Man, I hate talking to the media. But it's all good. It's all great. Man, I look at my team. Man, them boys straight.
Yeah, that was Cam Newton attempting to freestyle rap. I have no words for that one. That was absolutely horrible. I don't even know why we played that, okay?
But maybe I should have rolled the music under it. That
was
help,
so bad.
Possibly?
That was so bad. That was awkward bad. That's how bad that was. Real quickly, Indiana at Michigan. Again, you're predicting Indiana to win. Well,
no,
Michigan to win.
Win by over 10.
By over 10 points. I think Michigan will win as well, but it'll be a close one. All right, folks, we are out of time. Thanks so much to Sam Silverstein for being a part of the show and all of you out there for tuning in to WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Same time, same place tomorrow. Take care and be easy, people.